Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Andy.
Hi, Jay. Great to be here.
Oh, man. We're back. I see
the reviews are in and everyone hates my voice.
Yes. No one likes that. No one likes the WKRPY in Cincinnati or whatever the fuck the name of that show was. Voice. No one likes that voice. It's awful.
Well, I was trying. Okay.
Way to fail everyone.
Hi, Jay.
Yeah. Thanks for nothing. So we're back. This is week two after the hellscape that is President-elect Donald Trump's America as it has begun. None of us have died, so that's cool. But we do have a number of things to talk about. This week is like, it is like crazy. I think for the next 4 years, or hopefully less than that, it will solely be us trying to reduce the amount of crazy stories we have to talk about. Like, there's so many, it's like, well, should we talk about that one? I mean, that one's only like 7 on a crazy scale versus this other one that's like a 12, you know? So
yeah, like I've been keeping track of the Southern Poverty Law Center. We cracked 700 issues incidents of hate crimes. I don't even know if we should fit that into the show. Maybe we should just keep a running count.
Yeah, you know what? Why don't you just keep the running count every week? It's like murders in Baltimore. It goes up 3 every week. Yay.
We're at 701 hate crimes since the election.
All right, there you go.
By the way, there's been 2 happening to Trump supporters, so I assume that's 699 the other way.
Yes. And also, by the way, that just means that, you know, there's hate crimes happening equally on both sides.
Of course,
that's all we need to worry about.
Yes, I have conservative friends, and guess which one they're talking about.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
So we do have a couple of emails before we get into the show, but make sure you send your feedback emails to feedback@lookforwardshow.com. Send those in. Let us know what you think of the show, something we've talked about, or just your general thoughts on a topic that happened this week. And we'll read it on air and we'll answer any questions and what have you, give our opinions and what have you. Also, make sure that you leave a 5-star review on iTunes for Look Forward. If you do, we will read them on air. So do that. And also make sure you share out the shows. If you're listening, you can also find us on Twitter at Look Forward Show. So again, send us a message, follow us, retweet. You know, I run that account, so most of the times I'm just like retweeting journalists and other people who are making good points or posting articles. But also you can find the links to each episode there as well, so you can share those out. All right.
Yes, and if you're a Donald Trump supporter who really wants to get our goat, leave us a 5-star review and say mean things about us.
Yes. Allow this to be your hashtag boycott Look Forward.
Yes.
Feel free.
Along with your Trump cup. Go ahead and leave us a 5-star review and say terrible things.
Yeah, I dare you. How about that? It's so funny. Also, make sure before we get started, make sure you join our Facebook fan group, which you can go to lookforwardshow.com/fans. Join that group. And, you know, we talk about politics all the time, obviously, and it's a lot of fun. So make sure you do that. Okay, so the first email we have is from Jeremy. The title is, It's Not Even December and I'm Done. Quote, since the election, Overlord-elect Trump has asked for one of the longest run shows to be canceled, for the hottest Broadway show that is sold out for another 2 years to be boycotted, and his subjects are boycotting Starbucks. Really? That being said, if this is played after being announced at his first State of the Union address, the calamities may also be worth it. And it's a link to the Imperial March from Star Wars, which I think is very apropos. He says, keep up the great work and remember, Andy, get your people.
Yes, I've contacted my lawyer. I'm trying to see if I'm able to divorce white people. We do have irreconcilable differences. I don't know if that's going to work out, though.
I don't think it will, which is unfortunate for you. You're going to have to stay with your abuser. even if you can get a divorce, you have to be separated for 2 years. So you won't be able to get away until 2018.
Just, where it is can what I it go is. Where there's no white people for 2 years?
the sad thing is not really anywhere, which is really unfortunate. Trust me, we've been saying that for a millennium.
Find some jungle in China or something.
Yeah. And they're just like, what are you doing here? The second you go there, you're the white guy, so you've ruined it.
We've kept you away for centuries, damn it.
You bastard. Next email is from Cameron, or Cam. I don't know why I said your full name. I know who you are. He says, the title is, Yo, Fuck Drumpf. He says, fuck Drumpf. Fuck his McPoyle-looking children. Fuck his blow-up doll wife. Fuck that real-life version of Cameron Hodge we have for VP. And especially fuck all those idiots who thought their vote was too precious to be used on Hillary. Can this asshole get rained on during his inauguration and die of pneumonia William Henry Harrison style? Hugs and kisses, Cam. Look, that's a valid email. I have no problem with that. Yeah, I don't even have anything to say about it. Yes, that would be great.
I'm wondering, because, I mean, we'll talk about a lot of this stuff, but do you think Trump can break William Henry Harrison's record?
What was it, 52 days?
Something
like that, 52, 53 days.
Let's find out. He's the president for an hour and a half.
Yeah, like
it really.
I mean, he was like president for a few days before like falling ill.
Yeah, he was the president from March 4th, 1841 to April 4th, 1841. So a month. Can Trump beat that record?
Oh, let's all pray that he can. by the way, I will say this. I don't think I've come to the conclusion, and I know I'm on a different side than a lot of liberals. I don't think Mike Pence is a worse option. I really don't.
You know, on some things, no, you're right. Like I don't, like he's not down with just handing the world over to Russia. He's, I don't think he's like a frothing racist. I think he'd probably be more open to, like a lot of the neocons would probably be more open to immigration reform.
Yeah. Well, and also all of those things are true, but my biggest thing is he's a Republican Democrats know how to beat at this point. You know how to beat a middle American or, Southern white guy who's against LGBT rights and thinks like it's the 1940s. You know how to beat that guy. What you don't know how to beat is a guy who throws the media into a fucking tailspin and has fascist tendencies. That's who you don't know how to beat because he's unpredictable. Like Mike Pence, what, the guy who hates the X-Men? Like Jennifer, like Senator Kelly? Like, yeah, you could beat that guy. You've beaten that guy. Like liberals have beaten this guy 100 times over. You could beat him. Well, so, I don't think he's as scary.
That's where he's worse than Trump, though, is he's worse on, like, women's reproductive rights and LGBT stuff, of course.
100%.
Yeah, but again, we've had those fights. We've been having those fights for generations. We don't have... I don't know how we fight. Hey, our president might be a fascist. What do we do?
Right.
We've never really dealt with that.
Yeah, I will take the battle of... This sounds more callous than I mean it to... I'll take the battle of LGBT rights and women's reproductive rights on far more than basic freedoms.
We have the structure to fight those fights. We have the ACLU. We have Planned Parenthood.
Right. We don't have a structure for saying, hey, why don't we just ban an entire religion and then start internment camps, guys? Like that, look, and again, I don't mean it to sound callous about women's reproductive rights or LGBT rights. I don't. I do think those are basic rights. I formulated that statement wrong. But you know what I mean? Like there are.
Yeah, we know how to deal with that.
Right. There are rights that are based in a specific group that are offensive. And then there are such fundamental rights that destroy the fabric of the country. And like. There, we obviously progressed to the point of making LGBT folks feel more like equals in this country. And it took a lot of work to get there. And there's still a lot of work to be done. But if you destroy the media's ability to criticize the president,
Right.
That's far more. That it's far worse. And I like that's. I know it sounds like the oppression Olympics, but it is far worse. Like you not being able to get married is one thing. Us not being able to criticize the president as a nation, all of us, is a disastrous thing. Like that's not
right.
good.
Yeah.
Like so, in that regard, I'd much rather take on Pence and beat him again. Like we've beaten. I mean, look, the Republicans are on the wrong side of history, as they almost always are. Not even almost. They always are. Right. So
on those two issues, we have the high ground, too, which is it's already been decided in the court. So they'd have to fight to eliminate things that have already been decided. You know what I mean?
My wife and I were just having that conversation. We saw that movie Loving, which is about the Loving versus Virginia case last night. Yes. And like that was one of our conversations. She's like, well, you know, I'm really concerned about, you know, gay marriage being or marriage equality being, you know, dumped. And I said, I'm not, because in order to do that, you would have to find a legit case to take away their rights. That's a far different thing than making a legit case of why they're equal to us. Like,
right. You know, how would you even have a same-sex marriage make it to the court?
Yeah, right. Like, I don't understand.
At this point.
Like,
unless,
I don't understand what the precedent would even be.
Unless you have a state, like, trying to challenge one, and then it ends up all the way to the Supreme Court. But lower courts would follow precedent on that. It'd be really hard to do. That was like what we were talking about with Citizens United, how hard that fight is because it was already decided, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a tough case.
You'd have to get a lot of people on board to undo that stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, keep that in mind. Okay, the next email is from Terrence. Terrence from Black on Black Cinema, obviously a part of TMP Studios. He says, congratulations, America. You played yourself. Fuck a safety pin. Try me if you want. Try me if you want to. Brat skrr. I guess those are noises that designer makes. Hashtag white people ain't shit. You know who this is. I appreciate the sound effects, Terrence. And me terribly trying to do them. I don't even have any comments towards that. The last one.
I agree wholeheartedly, Terrence. That's a great point.
Yeah, brat skr. The last email is from Tiara.
Who could even argue with that?
No, I mean that guy won a Grammy or something. I think. The title is "The World Is Burning." She says, "Hi, Jay and Andy. It doesn't look like anyone will say gotcha and tell us Hillary is really the president-elect. And these last couple of weeks have been one huge joke. We still have 2 months until Trump is sworn in and can only imagine all of the insane news headlines we'll see between now and then." Oh, we're going to talk about plenty of them tonight.
Good Lord.
Also, please have Erica on again. It's nice to hear a black woman on the show. 2 months, guys, 2 months until the world really starts to burn. Tiara. Yeah. Yes. And thank you, Erica. I went to dinner with her last night.
Was great. Whoa, scandal.
Yeah, yes, me, my wife, her husband, we were all together. It was crazy.
Oh. Well, that's not a scandal at all then.
No, and not at all. We went and saw a movie about interracial marriage. Crazy.
Is that not like, I can never, like some of the court cases, you know, you just know, but there's a few of them that are really aptly named, and Virginia versus Loving. Like that
doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, we're against Loving.
Yeah,
we would like to have for Loving to be legal. It's not in Virginia.
not the isn't Virginia the state for lovers? Right, like isn't that the whole thing?
If they're the same,
yeah.
If they're the same color, then yes.
Like, if we put them up next to each other, do they look similar? Yes, then yes. All right, let's get right into it, man. This week is fucking crazy. So first off, Megyn Kelly, working on her her infamous WWE face turn, she was on Anderson Cooper 360 this week, and she talks about this story of how during the campaign, you know, when she was the moderator of that one debate, and apparently, people didn't care for her like questioning Donald Trump. She started getting all these death threats, like a lot of them, to the point where it was like against her and her whole family, which is insane, by the way.
She's on a book tour right now. She just dropped a book, and a lot of it is about what's been going on in this wackadoodle campaign.
Yeah. So apparently she was getting all these death threats, and she had to tell the vice president, the executive vice president of Fox, had to tell the Trump campaign, I believe Corey Lewandowski specifically, that, like, you guys can't keep talking shit on Megyn Kelly because of these death threats. They're really serious. And then they had to explain to the Trump campaign that if she gets murdered, that's not good for you guys. And they were like, oh, okay, we get it. Oh, so we shouldn't do, okay, we're going to stop doing that now. Like, you needed that to be explained to you? What the fuck?
She's got this book where she throws her whole network under the bus. She's doing her book tour on other networks. This further solidifies my theory that she is so fucking done with Fox News.
You think she'll go to CNN?
She'll go somewhere. I think she has a shot at a big network, honestly.
I mean, like ABC or NBC?
Yeah.
Or CBS. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, she's super popular. And, like, really, like, do we give a fuck about Chuck Todd or George Stephanopoulos?
No. I mean, honestly, if she pulled the, like, bullshit conservative nonsense stick out of her ass, she's not a bad journalist. Or she's not a journalist, but like an on-air personality. She's not bad. She just, there's sometimes where I'm like, you know what you're saying is bullshit. Like, I can see it in your face that you know. But you feel like you have to be conservative because you're on Fox. But she's far more in the middle than she pretends to be, I think.
She hasn't been putting up with a lot of this shit. She was, you know, she was going toe-to-toe with Newt Gingrich. And she's had a few of these moments lately where, like, she has Trump people on. She's like, you know that's bullshit, right? You know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it could go either way. Either, like you said, they dump some of the super hardcore right-wing nonsense and just go in sort of a center-right direction with her at the helm. Or she leaves. And honestly, I probably wouldn't stick around if I was her.
No, I wouldn't. Especially now that Trump TV isn't going to happen. Like, if Trump TV had happened, then you would have probably pulled people like Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, the crazy wackadoos like Lou Dobbs and all those guys. They would have probably all gone there. Then Fox could have kind of moved to the center. But now that you don't have that, Hannity's not going to go anywhere. Bill O'Reilly's not going to go anywhere. All those other lunatics like Eric Bolling, who I could push down a fucking large hill if I ever got the chance. He's one of the dumbest people on television, dude. He really, like, he makes arguments that, like, I severely think, wow, no one has ever challenged you on anything. Like, you don't even think 4 seconds ahead of you, like, the things he says. I will say this. I could beat Eric Bolling in a debate of ideas in this country. I know I could. 100%. I don't think I could beat Bill O'Reilly. Like, he seems like a pretty smart guy. He could probably pull out some shit I wouldn't understand. I wouldn't know. And I'd be like, oh, wow, that's kind of a deep cut that you sort of manipulated into making your point. But I know I could beat Eric Bolling in a conversation. He's a fucking idiot. Yes, he's a fucking idiot.
O'Reilly is just such a blowhard that he's like Chris Matthews, where even if they're wrong, they're just going to bowl you over anyway.
Yeah, you can't beat them in an argument.
Right. And yeah. But yeah, if nothing else, Megyn Kelly's at least going to get a bidding war going and make Fox pay out the ass to keep her. And she should.
Yeah, she's one of the better people they have on there.
She got treated like dirt.
Yeah, she really did. She did. I mean, look, that's just a fact. Just as a side note about Megyn Kelly, Megyn Kelly is like super fun, though. Like, I think we can all agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah. She's a good looking lady. Anyway.
She's also like the only one on Fox with not only a degree, multiple degrees.
Yeah. Like, she's actually intelligent. And she's not just... And what I appreciate about her is, as much as I don't agree with her on a number of things, I appreciate that at least she's not on there because she's good-looking and that's it. Like, a lot of the women that are on Fox News are clearly there for jerk-off material for, like, 55-year-old white conservative men.
Or that dipshit on the Blaze who doesn't know anything but yells a lot about black people, and they're like, yeah, she makes a good point, and she's just dumb as fuck.
You have to be... Oh, Tommy Lauren?
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
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 She Megan doesn't know actually, anything.
Megan, what was she? She was a lawyer, right?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's... I mean, she's an accomplished person. And look, I mean, look, she's on Fox News... She has a conservative streak, and she's also a good-looking blonde woman that immediately they were just like, oh, she's perfect. But it just so happens that she also is quite intelligent. But the rest of those yahoos they have on, like, five, you know, it's like five angry conservative women and a dude show, whatever that one is, like the trap or the question or whatever the fuck it is, the hand, I don't know. Like, that show, like, those women are fucking dullards, man. They're dullards. They say the most outlandish shit. Isn't that what it is? What is it called?
I don't remember. Where it's the, oh, this man has to argue with women.
Yeah, it's something like that. It is the five. The five. Yeah, that's
the
right.
The five. The hand.
Whatever.
From Daredevil?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're just as devious as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, so they apparently the Trump organization just didn't know. They were like, oh, yeah, it turns out we should probably make sure journalists don't get murdered. Surprise.
Yes. Oh, speaking of, this is just a random fun fact I discovered this week. Tim Kaine's Secret Service code name was Daredevil.
Yes, I saw that. That's so good, dude. God damn it, that's perfect. Daredevil. You know what? Yes. He deserves it. Fuck yeah. He's the most bland man in politics, but you know what? Good for you, man. That's awesome.
I didn't hear an explanation, but it's got to be because he's a Catholic and a lawyer, right? Like
definitely.
He's got to be a comic book nerd. There's no way that's not.
His code name should have been Stepdad. Just fucking should have been.
He's not like thinking he's Evel Knievel, right? That's got to be because of Daredevil, right?
What you don't know is that Tim Kaine is a huge parkour fan. That's what he does in his free time. That's what he does in his free time.
Tim Kaine is free running.
Yes. Like where are you going? Dude, I got to get out of here, man. I got a roof to jump off of.
That is a hilarious mental image. No, actually, nothing would surprise me less than if I found out that Tim Kaine read a lot of comic books.
Oh, no. That would make all the sense in the world to me. Absolutely.
It would be weird if he didn't, honestly.
Yeah. Like, what, do you think you're better than us? Fuck you, Tim Kaine. Love that. All right, next story. This is pretty interesting. This is my favorite story of the week because it is such a goddamn fairy or like a soap opera. I watch Rachel Maddow, and I saw this story before she covered it, the day before she covered it, and you and I, Andy, we talked about this, and she was so fucking giddy to tell this story. I was laughing my ass off. So
it's bananas, but yeah, you know how Maddow watches, you know, she'll start somewhere weird and weave it through a million things. And she started with, what was his name? McGreevy. And I was like, all right, we're starting with McGreevy. Where are we going with this? And she ended up weaving this whole tapestry as she does. But yeah, we'd been on to this story before, and I didn't even know the McGreevy connection. So
yeah, neither did I.
Good on you for finding that. For those that forget, Or don't remember, Jim McGreevy was the governor of New Jersey who had one of the most awkward speeches ever, where he's standing there with his wife next to him. I am a gay American. And she just has to be like, well, yeah, what are you going to do? But
oh, man, that was so sad. Don't make your wife stand up there, dude. I have had sex with a man outside of my marriage. Jesus Christ. Can I sit down, please? No, yes. Stand next to me, wife. Like, oh. God,
you're here for moral support. Now everyone needs to hear about how I fucked a guy.
Yeah, like, and it was great. I kissed a man and I liked it. Play that song.
So I actually looked him up because of that, because I'd forgotten all about him. And apparently he's been in this the same relationship for like 8 years. And he's like, yeah, this is great. I love being out and I'm having the best life.
Is he still with that dude?
No, he's with somebody else. But but yeah, apparently he's been in a long-term relationship and he just could not be happier.
You know what? Good for him, man. But you know what?
It's got to be shitty, like sneaking around and, you know, you're the governor and you're married to a woman. Like, that's got to be difficult.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be just like, yeah, I can walk around holding hands with a man and we can do gay stuff whenever we want. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Like, look, be that's your right as an American.
Yes. Suck that cock, McGreevy. Anyway.
Oh, man.
McGreevy's top donor was what, Jared Kushner's dad?
Yeah. Papa Kushner. Papa Kush.
Papa Kushner. Papa OG Papa Kush. And he had gotten in a little bit of trouble. He was a real estate guy too. And
of course.
And yeah, go through this story because it's fucked up.
So okay, so Kushner's Papa Kush, aka Charles Kushner. So he's a big time New York real estate mogul as well. See the connection? So Charles Kushner got in trouble because he basically had done campaign finance violations, and he got in a number of major issues with New Jersey. So, well, actually, let's start the story actually back a little bit. So Chris Christie was originally supposed to head up Donald Trump's transition team, right? And when that was announced, I was like, okay, that makes sense, whatever. And Christie, look, is a dirtbag, but Christie is easily one of the most normal people surrounding Trump, like by far, as a Republican goes. So Christie was supposed to handle the transition, and then all of a sudden, Christie is out within like 3 days. And
not only is Christie out, everybody that he brought in, like he's
gone.
Been working on this transition for a long time. You literally have to hire 4,000 people.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of that he had worked on, but everyone he had brought in was gone. There was the one guy that talked about it where he's like, I don't even know Chris Christie. I've had no previous association. He just thought I would be good for this job. And all of a sudden, he was gone.
Yeah. So I think they had like three major posts or something, like national security posts that they were planning on filling with Christie's choices. And they basically scrapped those people, right? So it was like, okay, well, that's kind of weird. And nobody really knew why. Well, here's why this happened, right? Now, check this fucking soap opera out. This shit is amazing. So Charles Kushner, who is Jared Kushner's father.
Papa Kush.
Yes. Jared Kushner is Donald Trump's son-in-law, who is married to Ivanka. Now, back in the day, back in 2004, 2005, Charles Kushner got busted for all these illegal things he was doing as a real estate mogul in New York City. Now, he was working alongside his brother-in-law. Charles Kushner was working alongside his brother-in-law, and he basically ended up screwing over his brother-in-law when he was about to get in trouble and go to jail. So Charles Kushner, to his brother-in-law, he set his brother-in-law up by hiring prostitutes to sleep with his brother-in-law, get it on tape, and then he took those videotapes and gave it to his brother-in-law's wife, who is his own sister, to fuck this guy over and get information so he would get in trouble too. So all of this happens.
It's like the most New Jersey thing ever, right?
Oh, it's super New Jersey, right? So all of this happens, and the guy who puts Papa Kush in jail for all of this is the U.S. attorney in New Jersey, and that man is Chris Christie.
Yeah, he was the New Jersey State Attorney General at the time, and he like made his name on this.
Yeah, and like, look, so in by all means, Kushner's dad deserved to go to jail. It's not like Christie was corrupt or did something fucked up. Like, Christie used to be referred to as like this kind of tough guy who's like, all right, he's a Republican, but like this guy stands for some shit, right?
But he did it like very publicly, very high profile.
Yeah.
Like Charles Kushner was a really big, rich guy, and he had a chance to put him, and not like white collar jail. He sent him to big boy jail.
Yeah, pound and, you in the ass prison.
Federal pound me in the ass prison, and he made a big deal about it. And it could be argued that he raised his profile enough to become governor off of that.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Like,
but
he made a big old deal about this, and.
Yeah, he made Kushner do a perp walk. They leaked the information about the prostitutes and the shit with his brother-in-law and all of that, making it absolutely clear that this guy was a fucking dirtbag. And now, 11 years later, Jared Kushner, who has the ear of the president-elect, is using that as a reason to choose a different national security advisor who probably was actually qualified to do the job because Chris Christie, who put his daddy in jail, this is his revenge. So a angry kid 11 years later is getting his revenge. And this is how we're picking people in the fucking cabinet of the fucking president-elect. That's what's happening right now.
It can only be Jared.
Unreal, man. Unreal.
This is bad news for the country at large, by the way, because Chris Christie is a moderate.
Yeah.
His friends he was going to bring in were probably moderate as well. Now, and we'll run down the list. Yep. There are fucking lunatics that are going to be running this government now. And Jared Kushner, I mean, he might be a brilliant dude. He owns the New York Observer, so, you know, he does media.
By the way, he inherited his money from his father's business when his father went to jail, which is how he's a rich New York real estate mogul, which is how he met his wife, which is how he got to the position he's in.
Yes, and good on him. You know, he's married Ivanka Trump. That's a pretty sweet deal. And, but yeah, so he's, but like, he's the guy when they went to visit the White House, when, he had gone up to the staff and was like, okay, so how many of you are staying on? They're like, none, zero of us. There are zero of the people. He didn't know that they had to get an entirely new White House staff.
Because these guys don't know shit. They don't know shit, man. Nothing.
Yeah. Like, who the fuck is going to be like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll stay.
Yeah. Yeah. I worked for Obama, a guy I believed in, and he's doing all those things. Yeah, why don't I stick around while you dismantle all of those things? That sounds like a blast. Can I write your policy papers? Suck my dick. Like, fuck off.
Right now, I have Obama White House staffer on my resume. I'm going to go to the moon after this. I can't have Trump White House on this resume. That will ruin me.
Yeah. Like, no, man. There's absolutely no way I would sign up for that. Yeah, these guys simply just don't know things. And I know that people in the middle of the country think that that's a benefit. It's not. Because if you show up at your job and there's a new guy working the forklift and he's like, I never drove a forklift before. I'm going to make forklifting great again. You'd be like, get off that forklift. Which you're going to get somebody killed.
Like, yeah, like the, as fucked up as it is, like our only hope of having a semi-functional government is that Newt Gingrich is hanging around.
He
knows a lot of people, right? He's been around for a long time. He's got connections. So it's not just going to be, you know, all the fucking mobsters and gypsies that Donald Trump hangs out with trying to run the government.
It's not really nice to refer to his kids like that, but it's true. His kids are gypsies, dude. That whole fucking family is. The whole family is, dude. A bunch of classless fucking gypsies. They are. Oh, look at the bracelet Ivanka's wearing. Don't you want that? Fuck you, dude. Like, it's the presidency, dude. Don't stop trying to hawk your shit on QVC, you fucking bitch. Fuck you.
Dude, it's ridiculous. You like the official like .gov web profile website for Trump's family, and like go look up the bio on Ivanka and Melania, and it is like you can buy her shit at over here. That's like our official government websites now is buy Trump shit.
Yeah, and it's funny because I think it was the Washington Post, that liberal rag, who had an article, and the title was like the first kleptocracy. Like it is, it is. Like, come on, man, you can't start hawking your shit in the middle of a press conference. It's unreal.
Yeah, I'm starting to get the feeling that we might have elected a scabby grifter to be the president.
Yeah, it turns out weird.
Weird. Yeah, so this is only going to get more fucked up.
Oh, we've only begun to fight. So let's move on
Can we start with the one thing that might be okay out of this? And I mean this. And we've shit on this guy a lot, but your official chief of staff is Reince Priebus.
He's the only one, dude. He's the only one so far he's picked that I've been like, all right. Like,
I mean, he doesn't have governing experience, but he's, again, it's another thing like Newt, where he knows some reasonable people that he can plug in. You know, it's not just going to be like crazy Trump militia people staffing the White House.
Yes.
Reince actually knows some folks. He's been running the RNC for a long time. So there's another little glimmer of hope. There is no more hope on this list.
No, there is not. Not at all. Right off the top, chief strategist Steve Bannon, known white nationalist, anti-Semite, and general douchebag, or as Stephen Colbert says, Robert Redford dragged out of a lake. Which is super accurate. What is that fucking quote? I read this article. I sent it to you. That quote from the fucking Washington Post in an editorial. Quote, I've never met Bannon. If he's charming, his apparent efforts to conceal it are effective. Photos of him show a disheveled, shaggy-haired man in need of a shave who appears to have slept in his clothes, possibly on a sidewalk grate. Jesus Christ. Again, that is from the Washington Post, guys. That is the liberal rag, the Washington Post.
He really does look like Ron White at the end of like a 5-day bender.
Oh my God, he looks like a drunk. He looks like a total drunk.
But he doesn't just look awful.
He is awful.
He is awful. He took Breitbart, which was already like sketching the edge of credibility, right? They were a far right site, and then Andrew Breitbart died, and Steve Bannon's like, man, this could be way more white supremacist-y.
Ugh. Can we talk about the fact, and I don't think this gets enough press, Andrew Breitbart was an insane cokehead.
Yes.
I don't know why people act like he wasn't. Oh, he just had a lot of energy. No one has energy like that. He's an insane person. And he was a lunatic, and he started a news organization. It's not a news organization, guys. It's a bunch of crazies. Also, that being said, Andrew Breitbart, probably not a racist, just an asshole.
No, Breitbart used to be like, I don't know, it was like on par with like Drudge or something. It was,
yeah, you
know,
he was just
right,
a dick.
Super right wing, but not like there's a line, right? Where like Fox News and guys like that, they'll go right up to the line, but they won't quite cross it. And Steve Bannon's like, nope, full speed ahead.
Yeah, what line? Like, fuck the line. I'm going. Like, I'm a habitual line crosser. So, the
two of them, Reince and Bannon, were announced together in the same press release.
Yeah, that's on purpose.
And said they would basically be of equal power.
I don't believe you.
Which is, again, it's like having a campaign, you know, a campaign CEO and a campaign manager at the same time, right? Like, who's actually in charge there?
Yeah.
Like he decided, you're my chief strategist, which I don't think is a thing.
Yeah, not buying it, man. Like, no. You know, it's interesting because, you know, somebody had said, I read someone say that Bannon's not a big deal because Bannon's only the chief strategist and that job doesn't have a lot of power. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, David Axelrod was Obama's chief strategist. Are you pretending that David Axelrod didn't have immense power? Or
it's like the Karl Rove job, right?
Yeah. Rahm Emanuel was his chief strategist at one point. What are you talking about? Those guys have massive power. They brought in Rahm Emanuel to pass healthcare, dude.
You have the ear of the goddamn president.
Yes. Basically, those guys are there to go, hey, here is the minutiae of government or of governing. Like, let's figure out how to manipulate the media and the other side and our own side to get the shit we need done. They are strategists. That is their job, is to manipulate and get shit done. To say that they don't have power is insanity.
And Bannon's quotes are, like, even in stuff that's not racist, which there's a lot out there, but even the stuff that's just talking about his ideas of government are frightening. He said, like, there's one where he said, "I'm a Leninist. Lenin wanted to destroy everything, and that's my goal, too." Good.
I love that in 2016, the Republican Party is the pro-Russia communist sympathizer party, yet liberals get talked about as being not wanting, you know, not loving America and being commies or whatever. You're cozying up with the other fucking team, dude. This guy said he's a Leninist. Who do you think he's talking about? John Lennon? No, dude. Spoiler alert, Vladimir Lenin, kind of a big communist. Hello.
Like, you know what's funny? Because there's a bunch of conservatives being like, "Oh, you're protesting out the streets. We didn't do that when Obama was elected." And then all I do is find pictures of Tea Party protests that started immediately.
They wore tricorn hats. Grown men in tricorn fucking hats that they bought.
Okay, so shut some up. Of the signs that they had were like, you know, "Down with socialism." And one is like, and there's like signs that were like, "We're going to hand the, Obama's going to hand the country over to Putin." Like, boy, what a change 8 years makes, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it just goes to show you it's more about them being for what they want to be for than it is the actual message of those topics.
Right. Now we have a president-elect who actually is buddy-buddy with Putin. And meanwhile, our current president punked Putin out last time he saw him.
Yeah. Like, "What's up? I heard you talking all that shit." And he's like, "Oh, I didn't realize how much taller you are than me. Hey, this is not comfortable."
Putin
Sorry about
is
that.
Not a tall guy.
No, he's not.
He
not at all.
He's a little fella. I saw pictures of him and Hillary Clinton. They're looking eye to eye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's probably got a bit of a heel on, but he is a little fella.
He's like, probably like 5'6", something like that. He's tiny.
He's like 5'7". Like, we make jokes about you being short. You're taller than Vladimir Putin.
That's right. Goddamn right I am.
And Obama's not a huge guy. He's like, what, 6'1", 6'2"?
Yeah.
But he's towering over Putin.
Yeah,
Putin. That's one of my favorite photos of the year, is him just, "Yeah, well, you want to hack the DNC servers?" And Putin's just like, "Sorry."
Sorry about that, guys.
My bad. I didn't mean to.
It'll be really interesting. Here, a couple of people who are taller than Vladimir Putin. Michelle Obama. Malia Obama. She's 6'1".
God damn.
She's fucking tall as shit. Jesus Christ. She's 18. Fuck you, Malia. Get out of here. Beat it.
Probably Sasha if she wears a bit of a heel.
Yeah, well, Sasha's, yeah, she's probably at least 5'7". But it's funny because Trump is 6'3".
Yeah.
He never seems that tall to me, but
he's slouching like a fucking weird monster.
Yeah. But yeah, he's a big fucking dude.
If he actually did his full, like, if he had any kind of posture, like, he always looks like a fucking weird homeless guy that just found a suit.
Always. All the money in the world, but, yeah, no tailor.
He wears these, like, ill-fitting suits and is, like, his posture's terrible.
Yeah.
But he actually, if he stood up straight, he'd be a tall dude.
Yeah. Yikes. Yeah, so Steve Bannon. So one thing I want to talk about Steve Bannon real fast before we move on to the other two lunatics in the cabinet so far. Bannon was quoted in 2016 saying that Breitbart.com was a platform for the alt-right, which you could be like, okay, the alt-right, whatever. Some people say they're bigots. Some people say they're not one. They are. But, you know, you could make that argument. However, he then goes on to name two people who are the intellectual minds of the alt-right to give you an idea of what the alt-right believes, which is the reason why you would say that. Now, I don't have their names, and I'll try to find the article. But then people were quoting things that those guys have said. And one of the guys was like, "Yeah, I think that America should be an ethno-white state and that we should help to self-deport all these people of color back to their home countries. And then America can be a haven for white legal immigration around the world." This is what that guy believes. These are the guys that he agrees with. It's not happenstance. Bannon named that. that guy. And it's also not that he said it in 2005 before that guy said it. He said it in 2016. So what now, dude? Now, look, all these people protesting against Bannon. Look, it's not going to do anything. He don't have to be confirmed by Congress. However, this guy, like, to say that he's not a racist is crazy to me. You can't. Trump is a racist, like, and Bannon is a racist.
All the, like, fucking white supremacy groups and neo-Nazis and David Duke were all celebrating this. Like, yay! One of our guys made the team. And there's still, like, the stupid media is like, I don't know, is he a racist? Maybe.
I mean, he says he's not. That's as that's as good enough of a confirmation as I'll ever need. Like, no. No. Steve Bannon is a bloated, drunk racist. Fuck him.
When the Nazis are celebrating, that guy's probably a racist.
Yep.
It's just a safe bet.
Yeah. They're not really in the business of being like, yay, that progressive guy who is anti-Nazi. We like him too. Like, that's not a thing, guys. It's not a thing.
We really like this guy's fiscal policies. Yay.
We have a lot of economic anxiety, so I'm going to go for this guy. Next up is lunatic fringe general Michael Flynn. This one, I think most people could have saw coming if you're paying any attention to this stuff. A mile away. Now, what's interesting about Michael Flynn is he's been named to the National Security Advisor, which is not a position that needs to be authorized through Congress, which is a good thing because he probably couldn't be authorized through the Senate anyway.
No, never in a million fucking years.
So he was run out of the Department of Army Intelligence for making up facts. They literally, he was so loose with the facts that they started making fun of him, calling them Flynn facts, which I read today. I thought was interesting. But he apparently started, after he got booted out, he started a consulting company where he lobbied for Turkey through his consulting company. And he was still writing pro-Turkey articles and editorials in major newspapers on the day of the election, never disclosing the fact that he lobbies for them for money and is advising Trump.
Oh, that was the thing we left out about Bannon. Like, Trump is like, we're going to get rid of lobbyists and bankers. Bannon was a Goldman Sachs banker. And yeah, his national security advisor is a lobbyist for Turkey. And Giuliani is a lobbyist for some wackadoo fucking, like, hard right Iranian group.
Because of course.
Like, yeah. So everybody that Trump is surrounded with is lobbyists, including this guy who's going to be his national security advisor, which, yeah, like you said, would never ever get a Senate confirmation.
No. Now, one quick thing about the whole, you know, lobbyist and what have you. His whole argument was about draining the swamp. That was his whole argument. Yeah. What now, dude? What now? You just keep putting the same people back in power. It's amazing to me. But yeah. Yeah, go ahead and tell me how he's against corruption. Okay, sure. Last but certainly not least, Jeff Sessions, Attorney General. A guy who was such a racist that he could not get a federal judgeship, but he's going to be the top cop in the entire United States.
Hang on. He was so racist he couldn't get a federal judgeship in 1986.
It's like the height of modern racism.
Yeah, that's not like our modern sensibilities going, that guy said some stuff. Like, this was 86, where people were a little more fast and loose with stuff like that. Yep. And he was deemed too racist to be a judge back then.
He told a black lawyer that he called him boy and said, that's not the way, like, you better watch the way you talk to a white man, is what he said in the 80s, in the fucking 80s.
Yeah, he's been atrocious on, like, voting rights. He's from Alabama, you know. I don't know how much more needs to be said there, but yeah, he's been a complete asshole. But yeah, he's the senator from Alabama. He's like the first elected official to publicly endorse Trump, and now he's going to be rewarded with the attorney general job. He also hates Muslims and immigrants and pot. So
That's my favorite part. All you California folks out there who got super excited about that legal weed. No, no, no. He says that good people don't use marijuana. So if you don't think, I thought Giuliani was going to be attorney general, but if you don't think Jeff Sessions will come in and fuck that over and start doing raids again, you're damn wrong,
Jeff
man.
Jeff Sessions once said, I thought the Ku Klux Klan was okay until I found out they smoked marijuana.
Yep.
That's the line that he had to try.
That's how much he hates weed and how much he loves bigots.
Yeah.
It's fine.
That's good news. There's also some talk today about this dude Mad Dog Mattis being the Secretary of Defense. Have you heard about him?
No. Is he a general?
Yeah, general in the Marines. He's actually a very well-decorated guy. His only controversy that I saw was at one point talking to a bunch of recruits. He had said, it's fun to shoot people. I'm not...
All right, that's fair.
But yeah, he's not one of these frothing racists or anything. So that might actually work out okay. But yeah, so we found another general that might, maybe, I don't know. Trump was tweeting about him today, so that might be your Secretary of Defense. The only problem is they'd have to waive a rule. You have to be retired for 7 years to work in the Pentagon, and he's only been retired for 3. So, but Congress will probably let that slide.
I mean, look, I'm not that upset by that. If it was Michael Flynn, I would be upset because he hasn't been out of the DIA long enough. He would have also had to get a waiver. I would not be okay with that.
No, Mattis has been one of the commanding guys in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he's been around for a long time, 40 years or something. So he's actually an accomplished guy, but he's a little crazy, but what are you going to do?
Oh, he does have the name Mad Dog. I mean, not sure what else you're supposed to say there.
Yes, Matt, welcome to the cabinet, Mad Dog.
Thanks, guys.
Not appearing on this cabinet, Ben Carson, in any way.
Oh, thank God. Please tell that story. Go for it.
So he was being considered for a couple of cabinet positions, as we talked about last week. And he decided that he shouldn't be on the cabinet because... he doesn't have any government experience. Keep in mind, this man ran for president.
of the United fucking States.
Yeah. So apparently he thought he was qualified to be the president, but now he's not qualified to be the Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Because that job takes real work. Not like president, where you get to just sit back and drink lattes.
I wonder, because the timing is odd, I'm wondering if they're like he's been going, oh, Trump's not a racist, and then Trump is surrounding himself with white supremacists, and maybe he's like, I better go.
Yeah. You know what? This is really not for me. Now, keep in mind, what's interesting is, of all the people that have been floated for Trump's cabinet, and it's been 25 or 30 people, 3 of them have been people of color. 3. That's amazing to me.
And now 2.
Yep. Now there were 2. Did you know, I don't remember the guy's name, did you know the guy that is likely to head up the EPA doesn't have a degree in science? He has a philosophy degree? for real.
He's going to be there to ask, why should we protect the environment?
No, he already knows. We don't need to. Why? Or it's more like, when do I close the EPA and put myself out of a job? Oh, I don't know.
Yes.
And of course, Sarah Palin is being floated too, which is gross.
The North Pole is 36 degrees hotter this year than it was last, but everything's fine.
Yep. Ignore it. All right. Yeah. Next story, sir. Does Donald Trump's tax plan sound familiar, Kansas? It should. This is from the Wichita Eagle. The paper of record. Please go for it.
I found this. I have family from Kansas, and this was floating around. That's the only way I saw it, but it scrolled across my timeline, and we were just talking about Kansas, and the numbers are even worse than I said, which was they have a $350 million budget gap. In September of this year, the Federal Reserve Bank
ranked Kansas 50th in the nation for employment growth, manufacturing hours worked, unemployment rate, and wage growth. And let's see, the Low Tax Advocate Tax Foundation told lawmakers evaluating this plan that Kansas is an example of what not to do in tax reform. So these are the people who are trying to get low taxes and are like, well, don't do that. That's a terrible plan. So this is, of all of the states, this is, they're dead last. They can't like go into debt like the federal government can. So that's, they're like $350 million short every year.
Yep.
And that's why they're like cutting down on education and all these services you think would be important. Like they had to cut back way on their DOT. So I get to hear about that sometimes. We're like, hey, I wish they'd plow the snow, but they're not.
Sorry, guys. Our bad.
So yeah, Kansas is fucked. And that's Donald Trump's tax plan, essentially.
Oh, goody.
It's the tax plan that the Koch brothers have paid millions of dollars to put their people in place to enact for them.
Amazing. Like, what are we doing?
It's great for a couple of billionaires at the top. There's not a lot of billionaires in Kansas. Like, I think they're all named Koch, honestly.
Yeah.
But it's great for those guys. Everyone else is fucked. And that's what we're going to do with our whole country.
And they're at, like, okay, here's my question. If Kansas is dead last, how is this an argument that people are making for using their similar tax plan nationwide? Why isn't the media digging into this and saying, guys, these are the same things that we saw in Kansas, and these are the results. Please explain to us that these are how it's different.
How come we had to get this story from the Wichita Eagle and not the New York Times?
Like, I feel like people turn off because it's finance and economics and it becomes difficult to them. But you have to look at the bare minimum of information. If you're looking at what is happening in Kansas, it is a direct result in lowering business taxes to damn near nothing. In some cases, it was zero. And you're not generating the amount of revenue. And what happens to a state when you do that? Well, Kansas is the perfect example. Why the fuck would we do that on a large scale? And Kansas doubled down. They put Sam Brownback back in office.
Did they?
Yes.
Did they?
Yes. What do you mean, did they? Yes.
There's some controversy there.
Oh, really? What's the controversy?
He won by like 40 votes and they won't do a recount.
Oh.
I it's probably a bigger number than that, but it was really close. I hope we should probably recount that. That was really close. And the entirely Republican everything government was like, nah, it's fine. The election's over.
Yeah. Look, if he just reduces taxes just a little bit more, it'll all work out.
Yeah. Maybe it's gonna trickle down eventually.
Yeah. It'll get there sometime.
For the people that work at Coke, I guess it's working out, but they can't hire the whole fucking state.
Can't they? Can't they?
No. No.
No, they cannot.
No. And I don't think they spend their money in Kansas.
No, of course they don't.
The problem, it's not trickling down to the people of Wichita.
Well, thank you, Wichita Eagle, for fucking staying on top of that shit. And yes. I wish that the big newspapers of record would also get on top of the story, because it is huge. And it is going to be, I'm telling you, when the economy, now, like, let's extrapolate this out for a second. Looking at the economy under the guise of how Kansas ended up, what the fuck is going to happen when the economy is like that and we're in the middle of a trade war with China?
Yeah, exactly. The same thing. But you know what? I'll borrow it from Rachel Maddow, but it's definitely a good point. We need shit like the Wichita Eagle. So wherever you are in the country, subscribe to your local newspaper.
That's right.
We need the news.
Yeah, we do. And look, there's been a boom of the newspaper circulations and things like that since the election, because people are like, holy shit, it turns out if we read about this stuff, we would know not to vote for this psycho. Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, so like the Times, WAPO, the Washington Post does some great stuff.
Newsweek.
Get Newsweek. And whatever your local paper is, support your local paper.
That's right, man. All right, the next story up. This is fucking brazen. Like, this is so brazen to me. So the Trump Organization owns or they're leasing that old post office building in Washington, D.C., which is right down the street from the White House. And they did $200 million worth of renovations on this old post office, right, to make it into a hotel, and which is fine. Now, the D.C. officials basically came in and valued the property now at $91 million. So they have to pay taxes on that $91 million. But the Trump legal team argued that the way they evaluated the building was unfair, not right, incorrect, whatever. And they say that the evaluation should be closer to $28 million, right? Which is a pretty significant difference of almost over $60 million. So the Trump Organization has now sued the government to make sure that they don't pay this insanely high amount of taxes. That's all fine and good. That's totally legal. The problem is, because it is federal land, because it's an old federal post office, the landlord or the people that would be handling taking this money for taxes and what have you, their boss is the president of the United States. So, because of the conflict of the massive conflict of interest, you have a situation where when Trump is sworn into office on the 20th of January, he then gets to put in place the person who would be running the department that sets this evaluation. So he could basically put someone in there who was sympathetic, who obviously would be sympathetic because he fucking just hired him. He would be sympathetic to Trump and would give him this lower rate so that they would end up saving $60 million in evaluation and tens of millions of dollars in taxes. Brazen, dude. Fucking brazen. These guys don't give
blind
a shit.
Blind trust.
Yeah. What happened to that? They asked him in a debate once. They asked him in a debate once, and he's like, I guess that's a blind trust if I let my kids lead it. And they were just like, I guess. Like, no, it isn't. It isn't a blind trust.
It absolutely isn't.
How is he going to stay not impeached for more than 6 days?
Well, I mean, he does have a Republican Congress, but they might just go, fuck it, let's go with the devil we know. I mean, he's not even the devil to them. They like Pence. So I really don't see this presidency lasting very long.
I can't imagine it last. You've been saying a year. I can't imagine he is.
I set the over under at a year. I was just seeing if anyone was take the over.
I don't see him being there by 2019. I really don't. I really don't. Like, the level of corruption, especially if they fuck up the economy bad enough that the Democrats can get a blue wave going and take over the fucking Senate and possibly the House. If they can, oh, he's in a world of trouble. He's in a world of trouble. My first job would be like, oh, cool. You guys brought us in? Great. Let's start these impeachment hearings. Motherfucker, you are corrupt as shit. Having your daughter sit in on meetings with the Japanese prime minister, even though she's not a fucking advisor.
He's been bringing Jared Kushner in on the national security advice. What do you call it? Briefings? He brings the General Flynn and he brings his son-in-law.
Yep.
Did you? I guess we're just supposed to trust doesn't go home at night and tell, you know, his wife, the person running the Trump business, all of this stuff that's going to help her run the Trump business.
How can we be this stupid? How can we be this stupid in order to possibly believe that?
Well, you know, he's going to make America great again. I had you saw the hats, right?
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah.
It is unreal.
A good businessman would get better hats.
Yeah, those hats are terribly cheap.
Even if I agreed with what they said, those are trash hats.
They are trash hats. Like, do better, man. Come on. Like, what happened to starter hats? Like, bring those back. Those were cool, right?
Dude, you couldn't get some new eras? Come on, man.
The ones with the flat bill on it? Stupid flat bills. I just don't understand this notion of being this fucking brazen. They just don't care.
That people elected him on it. He's a good businessman. Yeah, hey, you know what? Now he actually is going to be a good businessman. Terrible president, but he's going to make some money.
Well, he said he's probably going to be the first president ever to make money off of the job. Well, he's not wrong about that. It's the one thing he actually did tell the truth on. And people were too stupid to realize exactly what he was saying. Amazing.
Yeah.
All right, next up.
Oh, right quick.
Yeah.
I found some General James Mad Dog Mattis quotes.
Oh, lovely.
He was kind of pushed out, apparently, by the Obama administration.
Oh, here we go.
For rubbing civilian officials the wrong way and force them to answer tough questions regarding Iran. He hates Iran. Anyway, I found a few quotes here. The first time you blow someone away is not an insignificant event. That said, there are just some assholes in the world who need to be shot.
Yeah, I can think of a few.
I come in peace. I didn't bring artillery, but I'm pleading with you with tears in my eyes. If you fuck with me, I'll kill you all.
Jesus Christ. Is it Jim Webb?
Find an enemy that wants to end this experiment in American democracy and kill every one of them until they're so sick of killing that they leave us and our freedoms intact.
I'm glad he's going to be running the Defense Department. That seems reasonable.
Be polite, be professional, but have a plan to kill everybody you meet.
Jesus Christ. These guys, man.
Oh, this is the one that I was talking about. You go into Afghanistan. You got guys who slap women around for 5 years because they didn't wear a veil. You know, guys like that ain't got no manhood left anyway. So it's a hell of a lot of fun to shoot them. Actually, it's quite fun to shoot to fight them. You know, it's a hell of a hoot. It's a it's fun to shoot some people. I'll be right there with you. I like brawling. God in heaven.
Like, what is going on, man?
He's like a cartoon.
Yeah, he's the Yosemite Sam of Secretary of Defense options. God damn.
You could turn some of this stuff into like 90s rap lyrics.
Yeah, no kidding.
Kill everyone you meet.
Yeah, be nice, but have a plan to kill everyone you meet. Wow. Thanks, Tupac. I appreciate it.
Secretary of Defense Ice-T.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So, okay, next story. I am calling this bullshit right now. Trump and Romney have, quote, far-reaching conversation at meeting to discuss whether or not Romney will come on as Secretary of State. I don't buy it. I don't buy it, man. I don't think he will.
We discussed this week.
This is where we disagree.
Well, not necessarily, because I am leaning your way. But what I'm saying is, I'm trying to weigh this. I think there's an off chance that, and it's not likely, but I think there's the off chance that Mitt Romney, like, feels a sense of duty and is like, I need to do this for the country. But then there's also the way more stuff on the other end, like, I don't want to be attached to the Trump administration, which is very likely to be a disaster. Like, everything that he said about this guy was correct. And then, you know, I just don't see them working together very well. They talk so much shit about each other.
Yeah, I can't fathom a situation where Mitt Romney kowtows to Donald Trump and calls him the boss. I cannot imagine. I mean, you saw that. You posted that SNL cold open this week, where Romney comes in and he just starts shaking Trump's hand. And he's like, this isn't going to work, is it? No, it's not. like the thing is,
there might be that off chance that you feel that, like, man, for the country, I have to do this.
You think Romney would risk his entire career being, I mean, think about what damage he did to Hillary Clinton on Benghazi, which was a completely legit thing that happened. Can you imagine the clusterfuck of a international situation we'll have and Romney being tied to that? Because it doesn't matter if he does a good job or not. All Trump has to do is tweet that the president of Japan has like squinty eyes or whatever, and he doesn't understand it. And then it'll set off an international incident, and then Rami's got to go in there and clean that shit up.
Well, you know, yeah. Well, there was the there was that dude, that conservative dude, Elliot Cohen.
Yes.
Who, he wrote an op-ed after Trump got elected about how, like, it would be your duty to country to go serve under a Trump administration to steer it in the right direction. And he wrote this whole piece about why people should consider doing it. And then he went and had a meeting with Trump, and then he just sends out a tweet that says, they're angry, arrogant, screaming, you lost, will be ugly. I changed my mind, stay away.
Yep. He knows what's up.
Where's the quote? After exchange with Trump transition team, changed my recommendation, stay away. They're angry, arrogant, screaming, you lost, will be ugly. So maybe Romney went to go see for himself.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I don't see it happening, man. Like, I cannot imagine a situation where Romney is like, yeah, no, let me fucking do the good thing and bow to this bitch. Like, I just don't see it happening, dude. Like, I feel like Romney is relatively too arrogant for that. I do. I think he's too arrogant. And that being said, oh, I 100% agree with Romney. Like, no. You did a press conference shitting on how terrible this guy is. You're now going to go over there hat in hand and be like, yes, I said those things, but I didn't mean them. Who are you, Ted Cruz? Ted Cruz is the world's biggest bitch. Ted Cruz literally went on TV and like, Trump, leave Heidi alone and leave my dad alone. And then you turned out and you were just like, you bowed your head. The second
actual quote was, I'm not going to come and support you like some servile puppy dog.
Yeah.
And then turned around and supported him like a servile puppy dog.
Heidi, you leave Heidi alone. Like, dude, I don't have any respect. I didn't have nearly any respect for Cruz. But the one bit of respect I had was, somebody talked shit on your wife, dude, and you were like, fuck this dude. And you even went to the fucking Republican National Convention and was like, kiss my ass. Like,
yeah, he got booed out of the building. Right. And we were all like, all right, fucking A. Ted Cruz, right?
Yeah. Like, all right, Teddy Westside, I see you.
There's a little bit of respect there from everybody. And then, like, all right, good for you. Stand by your principles.
Right, and then immediately.
A month later, he's on the phone. Hi, Ted Cruz, I'd like you to come on out and vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah, you're just like, dude, what the fuck? He accused your dad of murdering JFK. Dude, what? The lack of balls, dude. The lack of balls. Look, I'm telling you, man. See, this is why I can't be in politics. Because if somebody said that and then they were like, oh, I want you to join my administration, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I would have the meeting with them and then I would come out like Romney did. And I wouldn't have said anything to Trump, and I would have come out, and then and they would be like, oh, so how'd the meeting go? I'm like, yeah, I thought it went okay. He doesn't seem to understand anything, and I'll never be in his administration because I think he's a fucking moron. Drop the mic and walk away, dude. Fuck him, dude. Why would you? Dude, I am never going to be president. I am never going to run for president. I am never going to run for Senate or House or any of that. Anything in between. Never going to do any of that because all of the information I have on these podcasts are way too damaging. They don't even have to do oppo work, okay? They're all way too damaging.
Mitt Romney, though.
But, like...
Like, Trump needs Mitt Romney more.
Right, he needs him more than Romney needs Trump.
Because Romney doesn't need him at all.
No!
But it's not just giving him that job. It's also... Like, Romney had an entire team put together 4 years ago ready to take over the entire government, right? Yep. Trump doesn't have shit, so he could probably use a couple of the contacts in Mitt's phone, right? So Mitt Romney would be a score for Donald Trump.
He would be. And look, part of me doesn't want Romney to join because a large part of me says, Romney, stick to your principles. You said, fuck this guy, stick to it, right? Because look, as much as I don't agree with Mitt Romney on a lot of things, like, dude, I don't think you're an asshole. And if you join with this guy, I'm going to have to start thinking you're an asshole. Like,
no, dude. Do you remember that campaign
They were just like arguing about corporate tax percentages. It was fucking great.
Yeah. And people are like, oh, I can't believe people watch these debates. Yeah, they're supposed to be boring. Two giant nerds talking about whether 2% increase on taxes for the wealthiest is acceptable or not. Fine.
Well, I think it should stay at 25. I think we should lower it to 20. Like, that was debates, man. That was great stuff.
Yeah. But
not like, did you grab this lady's pussy? Good Lord.
Right. Show some fucking decorum. So all of that being said, I don't think Romney does it. And I think that Romney, a guy who lost twice, is not going to stand there and say, you know what? I'm going to kowtow to a guy who I know knows less than me. I don't think he's going
to. But on the other hand, if he does, that's great news for us. Because some of the other names being floated for Secretary of State are bananas.
I disagree. Really? No, I don't disagree on the people. The other names floated are bananas. I totally agree with that. They are absolutely disastrous. I disagree that Romney being there is a good thing. And I'll tell you why.
Really? Okay.
The reason why I think so, and this is a selfish reason. Romney being there normalizes that campaign. And it normalizes that administration. Because they go, oh, well, Mitt Romney's here. He's a normal person. And it starts to cover up all of the batshit crazy. What you need in the next 2 years is a full-on crazy shit show so people can go, holy shit, what is happening? We got to get these guys out. But if Mitt Romney goes in there and seems all normal and saying normal shit on TV, then people start to forget how crazy it is. You can't, you know, no, I'm not interested in that. I want, no, pick Mad Dog Mulligan or whatever the fuck his name is. You know what? Secretary of State, pick Giuliani. Fucking pick whoever, dude. Who loves fucking Louis Gohmert? Just go for it. We can afford to crash the economy in the country for 2 years so Democrats can come in and save us. We can't afford to have a slow burn for 4 to 8. Fuck that. No way, man. Louis Gohmert for Secretary of State. You heard it here first. No way, man. Absolutely not. I don't want anything. I don't want any normal fucking Republican in this administration. I'm glad Chris Christie's gone. Thanks for locking up Jared Kushner's dad. Good. Fuck him. He's too reasonable. He's too reasonable.
Jared Kushner for Secretary of State.
Yeah, fucking do it, dude. Nepotism laws? Who gives a shit? Fucking who cares? Ivanka Trump for Secretary of Agriculture. I don't know. She's seen grass before. Fucking go for it. Who cares? Who cares? Sarah Palin, Secretary of Drill Baby Drill. Who gives a shit, dude? Let them go full board, man. Let them go full board. I don't want any reasonable people anywhere near this.
I would fucking love Mitt Romney to just quit walking away from that meeting. Just fuck that shit.
Yeah, like in earshot of Trump. Fuck you. Are you kidding? No.
Swearing for the first time in his life. Yeah. Well, what'd you think, Governor Romney? I'm staying the fuck away from that tire fire.
No, give me a fucking coffee. I need caffeine. And then he just gets in his private jet and flies off. I don't want Romney there because I think it does more damage. It'll normalize it. And that's the last thing people need, is it to be normalized.
God damn.
Yeah, that's the whole fucking story. Is insane.
Our next story.
Yes, please, take it away.
So remember I told y'all how we recaptured our state legislature here in Nevada? Apparently we're the only one.
Great.
The state legislatures around the country, they have full control of 33 state legislatures, which is bad.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Where are we here? What's the actual number? If they get 38, they'll be able to change the Constitution willy-nilly with no opposition.
Two-thirds, yeah.
So we're really close to the abyss here. So I'm going to need every Democrat or Democrat-leaning voter to go vote your ass off in 2018. Like, put some time aside right now to go vote for your local whoever is running.
Right. You got to turn some of these blue, man. You have to.
Good Lord.
And this is what I'm talking about when people are like, well, I didn't vote because I didn't like either one of those people. Yeah, but then you also help them to get a bunch of Republicans in state houses elected because you did nothing.
Yeah, fucking leave the top blank. Go vote for, you know, your state representatives. Go vote for the people in your local state senate and state assembly. Vote for your fucking mayor. Like, go vote.
Yep. Oh, I just... It drives me crazy. Like, look, as a black person, people who don't vote in my community make me nuts, right? For obvious reasons.
Because of how hard it was for you to get that right in the first place?
Yeah, and guess what? Not only get that right, but like how far we came to even get the right, and then having to get further to get it established after we already got the right. They did a movie about it. We had to cross a fucking bridge. Okay, like, that was a movie. It was like that with that Martin guy. I don't remember his last name. It escapes me. But, like, that was...
And the fight's not over, by the way. They're still trying to take that shit away today.
Yeah, what do you think happens? What do you think happens if they get two-thirds of the state legislatures and you think they can't overturn... You think they can't make a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage? They can at that point. Right, we talked about earlier how would you do it? They could do it then. They could do it without any trouble. They could do it.
And it drives me nuts because you look at public opinion polls on all of these social issues, right? We are the majority on everything. Woman's right to choose. Same-sex marriage. Fucking pot legalization, as it turns out.
Yep.
Like, all this shit that... should everybody be allowed to vote? Should universal background checks has 90% approval in this country and they can't get it done in most places. You know, and now the both houses of the of Congress are Republican. We have a Republican president and 30 fucking two state houses, both sides, assembly and state senate, are totally red. And that's not the country. But that's the legislature.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's fucked up.
It's super fucked up. And we need to try more, man. Like, we need to try. I get everybody gets amped up. Hey, man, it's so great. 4 years. Woo, we're going to get Obama in or Hillary or whoever. You have to give a shit on the off years. You have to. When it's not sexy. Because guess what? Old, boring, white conservatives, they vote every time, consistently. They're like, I don't know. Let's go to the fucking, you know, the pick and save or the Piggly Wiggly, and then we'll go vote for whoever the fuck puts their name up there with an R next to it. But we don't, because we're too cool or too hip, or we're waiting for the perfect candidate. Grow up.
We did, not that long ago. Like, George W. Bush came in with total control, and we didn't like what he was doing, and we beat him in the midterms. Like, that happened in our lifetimes very recently, like 2002. And
you could do it again.
2006. The Democrats took back a whole bunch of shit back then because we didn't want, you know, President Bush having complete power. And I don't have faith in this generation to get that done in 2 years. We couldn't get people to come out to vote to stop the fucking biggest maniac we've ever seen run for president.
Yep.
Like, if that's not going to do it, how are we going to get people out to vote for the fucking senator who gives a shit?
Yeah. I mean, look, fact of the matter is, and I hate to say this, we are going to have to lose, and then they're going to have to amend the Constitution on something we find vehemently wrong in order to wake people the fuck up. Because people don't really, and I look, I don't like even saying that out loud, but look, maybe, just maybe, women need to lose the right to fucking have abortions in the Constitution before the fucking 70% of this country wakes the entire fuck up and goes, holy shit, they can do that? They can do that. Pay attention, man. And look, there is, like, this country has a way, especially liberals, have a history of fighting very hard for things that they care about and pushing the envelope and pushing the country forward. Absolutely, right? However, we also have a history of laziness. where we fight, we get done, and we're like, cool, we got it on the books. All right, good, we're done. Well, we'll see you in 4 years. No, motherfucker, keep fighting. Because on those off years while you're sitting there relaxing, those other conservatives are still fighting for that shit. That's why. You have to keep fighting and be vigilant
about it. Here's the thing. Like, they're talking about, oh, in 2020, maybe we'll have this perfect progressive candidate
who's going
to shoot us to Bernie Sanders level. But you don't realize how much we could possibly lose in the next 4 years. We're going to need somebody just to bring us back to where we started.
Yeah. You'll be begging for a Hillary Clinton in 4 years. Begging.
Yeah. You.
Begging,
we're
dude.
We're gonna line up to vote for President Tim Kaine.
I'm telling you, man.
Get in there and fix it, Daredevil.
Yeah, that's right. Get your blind Catholic ass in there and help us. It's really fucking scary to think how much you can lose in 2 years if people don't wake up. And we shouldn't always be at the precipice of absolute destruction before people go, oh, okay. I get it now. It shouldn't be, dude. Like you said, like you read all of those, you know, the public opinion things. We are crushing them. Crushing them. They are on the wrong side of history. That is 100% fact. But yet, we're still losing. How?
Like, 20 years ago, most of the country didn't think that same-sex marriage should be allowed. Now, overwhelming majority say that that's fine.
Yep.
And it's the law of the land. That's happened within a couple of election cycles. Like, President Obama said, well, I think marriage is between a man and a woman. Like, that was not a long ago, right? And it's come so far that now, like, Hillary Clinton got shit for not being on board fast enough.
Yeah. How dare you? I just, look, man, and I, again, I don't say that shit lightly. I don't think marriage equality being destroyed as a constitutional amendment is enough to wake Americans up. But abortionists, because look, there's a lot of people in the middle of the country. I don't know any gay people. They're like, I don't give a fuck. That don't affect me. But it does affect you, Bubba, when you can't afford that fourth kid. And you're like, get rid of it. I'm just saying, dude, it would affect you.
How the fuck is this supposed to help our country to get rid of abortion, to get rid of Planned Parenthood so that we can't even get birth control?
Yeah.
To not teach about safe sex in schools and then not help poor people with kids. Like, what sinister bullshit is this?
Yeah. I mean, what happens if they decide to make a constitutional amendment to require prayer in schools? Again. What happens to that? What if they make a constitutional amendment to say that practicing Islam is wrong? What then, dude? Does it make you feel good when you know that you didn't vote for someone because of a fucking email, you selfish asshole? Does it make you feel better then? Because it's easy to feel better when you're a white guy in the middle of the fucking country or in a blue state and that none of this shit affects you. What happens if they say, hey, we're going to make a constitutional amendment that it's legal to do stop and frisk? You think they can't? Of course they can. It's a constitutional amendment, dude. They can do anything.
It's going to be sad. The saddest thing, actually, is the thing that's going to wake these people up is when they lose their pot.
Yes. Yes. You're right.
Like all that other stuff. They're like, oh, yeah, stop and frisk. That's very sad. Oh, wow. What? They're putting Muslims in concentration camps. That sucks. Oh, well, at least I have my weed. No, you don't. Okay, now I'm pissed.
Now I'm pissed off. Holy shit, nobody's taking my drugs. By the way, just saying, not that it's impossible, it's very unlikely, but you do know that the president-elect has a absolute disgust for people who drink alcohol, right? Just saying. Might be something to think about.
Yeah, we elected a fucking teetotaler.
Yeah. People don't know
that.
Isn't that
weird?
People don't know that.
Weird.
Yeah. Like,
what happened to I want a president I could drink a beer with?
God damn it. That might be one of the most frustrating things you've ever said because it's 100% true. Fucking 4 years ago, that was the big argument. Or 8 years ago, that was the big argument. Now here's a guy who's like, drinking alcohol is absolutely a horrible idea.
Well, to be fair, his brother drank himself to death.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. I understand that. Yeah, my dad's an alcoholic, but you know what? I'm not going to tell people that they shouldn't drink. Drink if you want to. Who the fuck do I care?
Speaking of our beloved president-elect.
Ugh, goddammit.
He paid out $25 million in his fake university lawsuit. He went ahead and settled that, you know, like innocent people do.
Right. come on, and man.
And then it's been going around tweeting like he won.
Yeah.
Like, oh, damn that I got elected president and I couldn't have fought this because I would have won. But I figured it was just easy to pay out $25 million for fraud and racketeering. But that story is not the top story. That should be the top story. The top story, which this is some sinister shit, I think. Mike Pence decided to go to Hamilton.
Yes.
Mike Pence, the most virulently anti-gay elected official in the United States, went to a Broadway musical.
There's probably no gay folks in that play.
And shockingly, isn't the lead like a HIV-positive bisexual?
Is that true?
I think so.
The Manuel dude?
I thought so. Somebody.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Lee Manuel is HIV positive?
Let me double check that. Just
well, here, Lee Manuel.
Oh,
Miranda?
Okay. I'm sorry.
No,
sorry.
He's got a wife.
No. Javier Munoz, who is now playing Hamilton, because Lin Manuel stepped down. Okay, so I'm sorry. That's why I wanted to check that before I went with that, because that's really bad to say if it's not true. So yes. Lin Manuel Miranda stepped down earlier this year. The person who's in the role now is HIV positive.
Yep, openly gay, HIV positive, and a cancer survivor. Has a fucking cherry on top. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so, okay, sorry. yes, didn't mean to say that.
Yeah, you might have screwed that one up. But anyway.
So yes, he got booed, but...
By the audience, I'd like to...
By the audience.
Out.
But
Pence did not the lead of Hamilton. Boo
that guy. Okay, so one of the actors, Brandon Dixon, who plays Aaron Burr, he came on stage and he said, "Vice President-elect Pence, we welcome you and we truly thank you for joining us here at Hamilton American Musical. We really do." And he asked the crowd to not boo him. So he quieted the crowd. And he said, "We, sir, the diverse America, who are alarmed and anxious that your new administration will not protect us, our planet, our children, our parents, or defend us and uphold our inalienable rights, sir, we truly hope that this show has inspired you to uphold our American values and work on behalf of all of us. All of us. Thank you."
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And Donald Trump goes on Twitter and says, "Our wonderful future VP, Mike Pence, was harassed last night at the theater by the cast of Hamilton. This camera's blazing. This should not happen. The theater must always be a safe and special place. The cast of Hamilton was very rude last night to a very good man, Mike Pence. Apologize."
And to that, the ghost of Abraham Lincoln said, "Get the fuck out of my face." One, the crowd booed him, which is totally legit, and I can't believe you're surprised by this. Two, get used to it. You're the president and the VP-elect. That's how it works. Three, Mike Pence wasn't even mad about it. He came out and said, he was like, "That didn't really bother me at all." He's like, "Look, I'm a virulent fucking bigot. I know what's going to happen." And four, why are you tweeting about Hamilton, dude? You're the president. Don't you have better things to do?
I'm sorry, is that not the classiest response?
Yes, it wasn't even offensive.
Giant bigot come in? Yeah. Oh, and I'm sorry, there's a third tweet. "The cast and producers of Hamilton, which I hear is highly overrated,
wow,
should immediately apologize to Mike Pence for their terrible behavior."
That's hilarious. I hear
what
it's...
What was wrong with what they said?
Nothing. They had the audacity to not... You know, bow down and be like, "This guy's the shit." That's it. That's literally it. fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck you, dude. Like, seriously, fuck you. That shit is, this is that normalization, right? That is the scary part, is normalizing this, like, you cannot allow them to push back against people critiquing them. You know, Louis C.K. did that whole thing about how he was voting for Hillary Clinton because she's like every other mother that you just hold down and spit in her mouth. Like, look, being president is just getting shat upon for 4 to 8 years. It is. And this guy can't allow his VP to get booed at Hamilton without sending out a couple of tweets. Are you going to still be doing this when you're president?
Of course. Amazing. But, man, like that... I know, we elected a giant fucking liar, but, like, that's insane to me. That couldn't be further from the truth from what actually happened, but this is what he does.
Yeah, and also, just take a look at the time. He's up at 8:48 a.m., like, first thing in the morning. Oh, Hamilton, blah, 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 blah. Like, dude.
Yeah, after he was tweeting the night before, he, like, went to bed, woke up, and was like, well, goddamn it, Hamilton! They're overrated, I hear.
And his supporters are talking about boycotting Hamilton. Good luck with that.
Hamilton is sold out for the next 2 years. Yeah.
By the way, I will also, I won't be boycotting Hamilton, but I will be boycotting Tesla, $10,000 gold bracelets, flights on the Concorde.
I'm so pissed right now. I'm boycotting Dom Perignon.
Yeah, like how dare you? How dare you, you bastards? Yeah, like come on, man. Like, get out of my face. Like, those tickets are $500. Boycott it. You can't afford it. Like, shut up. Yeah, it's just so dumb. Although, incidentally, not the dumbest protest this week. But quickly, I just want to. We'll skip down because we're running out of time here. I want to skip to this rural Kentucky story, and this will be the last one. So NPR did a story entitled, "In Depressed Rural Kentucky, Worries Mount Over Medicaid Cutbacks. You Don't Say."
Wow.
So apparently...
Do people need health insurance or something?
Yeah, it turns out. Apparently, a Ohio school custodian said Medicaid has been a godsend... a godsend to her, and they're really upset because they think that the Trump administration, after they voted for them, might privatize it. Well, considering that Paul Ryan said, quote, I'm going to privatize Medicare and Medicaid, they're fucking right, because they're going to take Medicare and Medicaid and bet it on a horse in the stock market and see what happens. Fucking morons. So, yeah, the chances of Medicaid and Medicare going away are 100%. So, good luck.
Poor people and old people are going to be fucked harder than anybody else.
Yep.
And I kind of am like, eh.
Good luck to you.
Because y'all voted for them.
Yeah, you did. Good luck, white people.
Look at the poorest states. They all went red. They always go.
They always do.
For no reason other than racial politics, I think. But... like fucking Louisiana and Mississippi and West Virginia, they don't have two nickels to rub together.
Yeah.
And they're always like, let's keep voting Republican. It's going to work eventually.
Yeah. The Democrats are stopping them. No. But like all the blue states are the rich ones. Have you noticed that? Like, hello? Like, they are, guys.
The 10 poorest states, there's one blue one.
Which one is that?
9 are red. New Mexico.
Ah. Fucking New Mexico. That's not Democrats' fault. That's because they got Mexico in the title. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows that.
You know what? It's bad real estate. You're like, Texas, Arizona. There's bad news all around you.
Yeah, you can't get out of there. You're stuck. All right. So yeah. Old poor white people, you should have learned your fucking lesson. Read policy next time.
Yes.
So,
you alluded to it, so we should talk about the stupidest protest of the week.
Okay, quickly. So
hashtag Trump Cup.
Trump Cup
going around.
So conservatives are protesting Starbucks by going in, similar to their Christmas themed protest. They are going in and they are buying a $5 plus coffee And then when you have to say, you know, give your name, they're saying, my name is Trump. And then the barista, who is an 18-year-old kid who could give a fuck, has to say, Trump, your latte's ready. And somehow they figure that is nailing it. They are showing you coffee sipping liberals, even though you're also a coffee sipping person. You are showing these people what's what. But you're still giving them money, you morons. Conservatives don't even know how to protest correctly. At least liberals go, I don't like your chicken sandwich, so I'm just not going to eat there anymore. They just stick to it.
I would really like angry conservatives to protest us.
Yes, please do.
By giving us $5 a month to subscribe for premium content, which includes the full version of this show, airing of grievances.
Yeah, you think you hate us now. Listen to our other shows. Holy shit.
Yeah, we're nice in the first half. Yeah,
that's right.
Back into this, we go bananas.
But not only that, like, protest, you know, boycott us, sign up, then tell your friends about it so that they can also do the same. Like, yeah, we're going to show them and, you know, look, send in your 5-star reviews and make us say Trump. Go ahead. I don't care.
Yes. Just a 5-star review. Trump, 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 Trump. We'll read it on the
show. I'll read it on the show. Whatever. Thanks. Fucking idiot. Like, boycott Hamilton, buy tickets, then maybe yell during the show and get kicked out and still spend $500. That'll show them. All right. Hey, big dummy.
How do you boycott someone by giving them money? Yeah. So dumb.
They don't know how to boycott. You know what? They don't.
I'm mad at Home Depot. I'm not going to shop at Home Depot.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm not going to, like, go in, you know what? I will take all this lumber, but I want you to write Hillary on all of it.
Yeah, now what? Like, now you have Hillary written on your lumber.
Boom! In your face. What's that, $350? Okay.
Please, can I sign up for a card or what? You're idiots, dude. You're fucking idiots. All right.
Yes. Oh, I'm also boycotting UFC by continuing to steal their pay-per-views.
Yeah, I do that as well.
I mean, I was already doing that anyway, but I'm just going to keep that up. Now in solidarity.
Yeah, yeah, so suck it, Zuffa.
Take that, Dana White. Yeah. Boom.
Yeah, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. All right, that's it for us. We will see you guys next week for another episode of Look Forward.
Yes! And do go to lookforwardshow.com/fans and come hang out with us.
That's right. All right, guys, we will see you next week. Bye.
Later.